Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are starting the second Perek of Maseches Arla. Today we're going to be learning Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, and Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. Perek Beis of Maseches Arla is going to be discussing the concept and the rules of Bitul Berov, when you nullify things based on the majority, specifically as they apply to Arla, Kili HaKerem, and various holy foods. Generally speaking, prohibited items, things that are usur, that become mixed with permitted items, for example, kosher and non-kosher is the classic example. If I were to walk on the street and see three pieces of meat, two of which I know are kosher, one of which I know is not kosher, so halacha is there's a bitul berov, that because the majority of the pieces of meat are kosher, we allow you to eat all three pieces of meat. You can assume that the pieces of meat are kosher. However, the situation becomes a little bit more complicated when it comes to food mixtures. Over there, you had three disparate, separate pieces of meat. However, when you have mixtures of food, where the prohibited food actually adds flavor, it's what we refer to as nesinas tam, it gives off taste to the overall mixture, then things become a little bit more complicated. And that's what we refer to often, certently at least in the concept of, let's say, basar b'chalav, you have milk and meat that became mixed together. So there's a concept of batel b'shishim. They're a little bit more strict. It's not simply enough to have a majority, but you have to have so little of the other type of food that you wouldn't taste it primarily in the main. So if you have a chicken soup and you have 1/60th of meat, of milk that falls into the chicken soup, then you can assume there's not going to be any tam, there's not going to be any taste of the milk in the chicken soup, and therefore you're left to eat it. Bitul berov would apply, batul b'shishim would apply, and that would work. Now we're going to discuss a bunch of examples in this perek where we're actually even more strict than 1/60th, we're even more strict than batul b'shishim. That's regarding all of these different areas of halacha, of holy items that become mixed with items that are permitted. It says the Mishnah, Hatruma vech utrumas meiser shel demai hachala vehabikurim. If you have truma, which again is given to a kohen, trumas meiser, which is what the levi separates for the kohen, of demai chala, which again is separated for the kohen, bikurim, which again are the first fruits that are given to the kohen, all of these things are given to the kohen, olim be'echru mea. How do these become nullified if they're mixed in with non-holy food, with regular chulin food? You can only nullify them with when you have 100 times the amount. If they have 100 times more chulin than truma, 100 times more chulin than bikurim, and so on and so forth, 100 times more chulin than chala, 100 times more than the item that is prohibited in order for you to be able to eat from that mixture. Umitztarfin zemzen, says the Mishnah, they do combine with one another in order to prohibit the mixture into which they fall. So for example, if two or more of these different types of holy foods, you have truma and truma smaisa shel demai, or truma and chala, or chala and pikurim, whatever it is, and they're all mixed in together, so at the end of the day, they can combine to make them usur. So even if there's not 100, even if there is 100 times more chulin than the truma, but if we also added some challah into the mix, then that wouldn't be less than 100 times once you add the challah and the truma together, and then that would be prohibited to the person. You'd have to give that all to a kohen. So the Mishnah is saying that umitztarf and zemzeh, that these different things, they all go to the kohen, therefore they can combine together in order to prohibit it and to disallow bittel from working. And says the Mishnah, v'tzarech laharim, even in a situation where bittel does work, where they do become nullified, where there is 100 times more chulin than the truma and so on, he must still remove from the mixture the amount of holy food that fell in and became batel, and he has to give that to a kohen, because again, the whole point is that truma, trumas meiser, chal, and so on, bikurim, they belong to shevet, to the kohen, and therefore, by eating it, by taking it, you're basically stealing from them. So even if bittel works on an iser level, you're not doing anything usur, because bittel works, and there's no nasi, there's no taste of the truma that you're consuming and that you're tasting. At the end of the day, he has to still remove whatever fell in and give that to the kohen, even though, again, it's unclear exactly which part of it was the truma, but you still have to give that to the kohen so that you're not stealing from the kohen. Now we're going to discuss the halachos of bittul as it pertains to specifically arla and kili hakerem. Again, arla being the fruit of the first 3 years, kili hakerem being mixtures that are prohibited, as we learned in Maseches Kilayim. Says the Mishnah, ha'arla v'kili hakerem, when it comes to arla and kili hakerem, the various prohibited mixtures that were planted together, olim be'achodim mosayim, they become nullified, not in 100 times, like we learned previously when it comes to all those things that belong to the Kohanim, but here it has to be 200 times. You need 200 times the amount of permitted food in order for you to eat this mixture with that contains arla and kili hakerem. And we start from Zemzen. Once again, says the Mishnah, that the arla and the kili hakerem do have the ability, do have the potential to mix together to prohibit the mixture into which they fell. If both arla and kili hakerem fall into permitted food, the mixture may not be eaten unless there is 200 times as much permitted food as the two of them together. But the difference is ve'ein sarech laharim. Here in the case where they do become nullified, where bittul does work, he does not need to remove anything from the mixture, because after all, there's no one who has any monetary claim. Previously, we said they had to give what fell into the Kohen, because the Kohanim have a financial monetary claim to the Truma, to the Bikurim, to the Chala, to the Trumas Meiser, and so on. But here by Arlan Kilikarim, there's no person who has a monetary claim to them, and therefore you don't need to actually remove anything and give it to anyone if bittul works. Now, another Tana is going to disagree regarding whether or not Arla and Kili HaKerem have the potential to combine to make it Aser. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Einon Mitstarfim, that Arla and Kili HaKerem do not combine because they are different prohibitions, they're different Isurim with different names. According to Rabbi Shimon, only things that actually share at least a common name can combine with one another. Kili HaKerem and Arla are so different, and therefore, if you have 200 times the amount of, 200 times more Chulin than Arla, then you can eat it. 200 times more chulin than kili hakerem, then you can eat it. You don't have to combine arla and kili hakerem to disallow and to prevent the bittul from working. Now we're going to learn one more opinion, one final opinion in our Mishnah regarding when or if arla and kili hakerem have the potential to combine in order to prohibit and have the ability to prohibit a mixture from being consumed. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rabbi Eliezer says, Mitstarfin benosein tam. Arla and kili hakerem combine when to prohibit a mixture when it comes specifically to giving flavor, when there's nesinas tam, meaning to say, when they fall into the type of a mixture in which their flavors can spread through the entire mixture and be tasted, meaning to say, what kind of mixture is that? It's a wet mixture, right? If let's say you have wine that was made from arla grapes or kili hakerem grapes fall into the water, or where arla fruit and kili hakerem fall into a pot of food that is being cooked. In such a mixture, if the flavor of the two of them together can be tasted, the mixture is prohibited. So in that situation, the arla and the kili hakerem would be combined, but they would not combine, says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Eliezer. They would not combine to prohibit a mixture with regard to needing the Masayim to one ratio, the 200 to one ratio, to nullify them, meaning when they fall into the kind of a mixture in which their flavor does not spread, meaning like a dry mixture, Arla and Kili HaKerem do not combine to need 200 times more permissible food to nullify both of them together. At the end of the day, as long as there is enough to nullify them for bittul to work separately by with a percentage, with a margin of 200 to 1, they both become bottle. They both become nullified. It is not necessary to have 200 times more than both of them combined. Continuing now with Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, as we discuss how one forbidden food can sometimes help nullify a different forbidden food. Says the Mishnah, again, similar to what we've been saying until now, Hatruma Mala es Arla, V'Arla es Hatruma. Truma, which again is given to a Kohen, can help nullify Arla, and Arla can help nullify Truma. Kate said, how is that so? Se'a Truma. Shenafla lemeya, if a sah of truma fell into a close, not a full, but a close to 100 sah of chulin. So let's say it fell into 99.5 sah of chulin, right? Which is not enough to nullify truma. You need 100 times more chulin in order to, 100 times more chulin than truma in order to nullify the truma. V'achar kach nafla shlosha kav in arla. Now what happens? And afterwards you have 3 kav, which is a half a sah of arla, falls in to the chulin as well. right? So what do we have? So now we're going to have 100 sa of non-truma. And if you have 100 sa of non-truma, then that would work. O shlosha kab and kili hakerem. More similarly, says the Mishnah, you have 3 kabs, which again is a half a sa of kili hakerem that fell in instead of the arla. So zuhi cha truma malesa arla va arlesa truma. This is the case, this is the situation where the truma nullifies, is going to be mevatel, is going to nullify the arla or the kili hakerem, and the arla nullifies the truma. Why? How so? Because the mixture now contains 99.5 saws of chulin, 1 saw of truma, and half a saw of arla, or the saw of truma combines with the 99.5 saws of chulin to form a unit of 100.5 saws, which is now enough to nullify the half saw of arla by a margin of 200 to 1. And the half saw of arla combines with the 99.5 saws of chulin to form a unit of 100 saws, which is enough to nullify the truma by a margin of 100 to 1. So in both of these situations now, we've nullified both the truma, 100 times more non-truma than truma, and we've 200 times more non-arla than arla. So that's how we'd be able to sort of allow in these different mixtures for bittul to work. Have a great day.